Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, after what has already been a fairly rocky first 100 days in office for the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, he's coming under fire again over the government's new workers' rights package and a weekend fallout with his own Transport Secretary Louise Hague over comments she made about boycotting P&O ferries. Now, that row had threatened to overshadow a major government summit this morning showcasing international investment into the UK. Reports had been circulating that P&O's parent company, DP World, might pull out of the summit altogether and perhaps more importantly, shelve a £1 billion infrastructure project off the back of the Transport Minister's comments. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Henry Riley, who's a reporter with LBC News in London. Henry, thank you very much for joining us. You might uncomplicate this row over P&O ferries, the £1 billion infrastructure project, and Keir Starmer's role in the middle of it all.
Yes, good morning, Claire. I will absolutely try. So this goes back to 2022 when P&O Ferries sacked 800 workers out of the blue and replaced them with a cheaper workforce. And so they understandably were criticised by the Conservatives, by Labour, and various unions were getting involved and everyone was very upset with P&O as a company. Then what has happened is sort of fast forward 2 years and Keir Starmer and his government are all going for growth. That is what we hear continuously. And the operating company of P&O Ferries is called DP World. That's the sort of parent company. And they were going to announce a £1 billion investment to expand one of our ports, the London Gateway port in Essex. And so this was going to play very well into the government's agenda for growth. Louise Hague was then asked about P&O Ferries and said that they were a rogue operator. Now, P&O Ferries must have got wind of this. And they said, well, we're just about to invest £1 billion in the UK. Maybe we won't bother. And there's this big investment summit happening today where the government is rolling out the red carpet for a firm where one of the cabinet ministers has described it as a rogue operator. So what essentially happened, Claire, was over the weekend, Keir Starmer and his top team, I imagine, were saying, oh, don't listen to Louise Hague. She's not speaking on behalf of the government. Indeed, the briefings we got out were that Louise Hague is not speaking on behalf of the government, despite the fact it is the Transport Secretary speaking on matters of transport. But anyway, they've now sort of backtracked. They've said, We're totally with you. We would love this investment. And it looks like they've just about done enough. There is a bit of embarrassment, don't get me wrong, but they've just about got it over the line. And it looks like this investment will go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps her future then looks uncertain as part of Keir Starmer's government, because there were reports of an explosive cabinet row over all of this at the weekend.
Yes, and just to give you the sort of background for this, Louise Hague was one of Jeremy Corbyn's shadow ministers, and we know there's no love lost between Sir Keir Starmer's predecessor, Jeremy Corbyn, and the man who is now leading the Labour Party. So there's always been a bit of a fractious relationship there to some extent, because she's very much seen as part of the old projects, but is thought to have done a fairly good role and is not a sort of junior position. She's in a very senior position, but it's not the first time, Claire, and the problem is, in the first 100 days, if it's more than once where it seems like there are briefings going out against you, as Sue Gray has learnt, the Prime Minister's former chief of staff, it doesn't end well. And Louise Hague settled a dispute with the train drivers, the ASLEF union, earlier on, 2 months ago, in fact, and that seemed to have been done without the proper stamp of approval from Downing Street. So I would suggest they are perhaps watching her performance very closely.
So you've the Labour Party pushing for growth on the one hand, but that's coming into conflict with their stated position, isn't it? And it's proving difficult for them. We spoke about this last week on the programme in the context of carbon capture and the investment of £22 million in that project. But also we have the workers' rights bill, which Keir Starmer promised to deliver in the first 100 days. It was rushed through last week. But now you have people saying, look, this falls short of what Labour said it would do in this area.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the number of policies in there and the number of parts, components of that bill, which haven't really been mentioned at all. Things that we were promised, and that Angela Rayner, who sort of led this charge, has been singing from the rooftops about, and yet it features virtually nowhere in the legislation. Just to give you one example, the right to switch off, this idea from Labour that actually your boss shouldn't be calling you out of hours and that workers do have a right to sort of turn their phones off, turn their emails off and enjoy their evening. Well, that has now, from what we were told, was going to be binding in law and, of course, with some caveats, but it was going to be sort of set down in legislation. That's now going to be only advisory. There's also various criticisms from unions that this simply does not go far enough. It's been welcomed on things like maternity and paternity leave, saying that you get that from day one and that you can sue your employer for unfair dismissal from day one. Those have all been very much welcomed, but there is still a sense that just being promised this big bonanza of reforms, it hasn't really happened.
Angela Rayner, who you mentioned there, deputy leader of the party, what is the situation with her? Because I've been reading various reports that since Labour have won the election and Keir Starmer has gone in as Prime Minister, that she has been somewhat sidelined. Is that your own view or what you're hearing?
Yes, the problem is, Claire, is you've got essentially four deputy prime ministers because you hear, I mean, she is officially the deputy prime minister in her name. But if you listen to all of the sort of talk from Downing Street, it does seem like Rachel Reeves, for instance, is effectively the deputy prime minister and this big growth agenda. Pat McFadden, who's the Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, a sort of grand way of saying he's a cabinet minister, but he sort of coordinating the civil service. He was very much seen as the brains behind the election and various people alleging that he is effectively the deputy prime minister. And then you hear Morgan McSweeney, the chief of staff, is actually running the shop. So it's very difficult to know who actually is in charge below Keir Starmer. And Angela Rayner, do I think she's been sidelined? Yes, to some extent. She's very much been seen as someone who shoots from the hip. She's not afraid to say it as it is. The only sort of real footage we've seen from her in recent months was her understandably enjoying herself in Ibiza when she was dancing. And this was sort of captured online and she had to declare it as a sort of freebie, which ended up in this whole row about freebies. But I think as well, Claire, she has such a tough policy agenda that she probably is just having to crack on with it behind the scenes because housing is such a big issue in the UK. The government's pledged to build 1.5 billion homes in 5 years. It's a bit of a sort of doomed task, really, to some extent. I'm sure Keir Starmer would say publicly he has confidence in her, but it's going to be very tricky. And she's got the role as Deputy Prime Minister, Housing Secretary, Levelling Up, Communities. I mean, she's got so many roles, and it could be that perhaps it's one too many.
Yeah, it's fascinating, though, to watch it all play out, because Keir Starmer acknowledging himself at the weekend that he had faced choppy days in his first 3 months was telling, because we can all see it, but for him to admit it is quite something.
Yes, I think so. And of course, Labour can point to various things that have gone right. Polling would suggest their response to the riots that we saw some months ago in August was good, and they've laid the track for renationalisation of the railways. That is all very welcome. But look, we've had a chief of staff resign, a sort of soap opera in Downing Street. He's lost an MP, Rosie Duffield, who's resigned the whip, unprecedented within 100 days. There's been scandals with regards to freebies, unpopular policies like the winter fuel payment being taken away. The party slumped in the polls. So I think it is probably welcome from some of the electorate for Keir Starmer to admit that. The sort of advisers would say, look, we've been out of power for 14 years. In the words of Labour, things can only get better.
All right. We'll leave it there for now, Henry. Thank you very much for joining us. Henry Riley, reporter with LBC News in London. Now, we don't often give the hardworking domestic appliances a second thought. Well, Shane Bergen is going to delve into the science of the fridge, the oven, the washing machine. That's on the way. Plus, will Donald Trump release his medical records? Will cross the United States.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.